Turn to the book of Joshua tonight, Joshua chapter number 3. And aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? And in case you're wondering, we do believe in a gospel that includes the blood. Without the blood of Christ, we'd have no hope, we'd have no salvation, and we're thankful for His shed blood. Joshua chapter number 3, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. I'm going to try and get you to think again tonight. I asked you to think this morning. I'm going to try and get you to think again tonight. And there's nothing wrong with being a thinking Christian. If we had more of them, we'd probably be a little bit better off. So I want you to think tonight as we look forward to a new year. And I'm excited about the new year and these new Sunday school classes that we're getting started next Sunday. Pray for them. Help them. You, for example, the Mandarin class, you may say, I'm never driving over there for Sunday school, but you may work on that side of town. And be quick to point people for a Bible study. And you say, well, they may not come all the way over the bridge to church. Well, I'd rather them get the Bible in Sunday school than go to one of these community churches where there is no Bible. And so let's get people under the teaching of the Word of God, and we'll look forward to seeing what God does in the new year. Joshua chapter number 3, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, then I want to focus on a command, then I want to focus on how that relates to us and the principle behind it tonight as we look forward to what God has for us in the future. Let me just say, it's exciting to think about what God wants to do, but what God can do. Do you realize that everything that God has done in the past, He's perfectly capable of doing it again in the future? There's been great churches in Jacksonville in the past. I think we're a great church. But there's been churches that have reached masses of people. And I'm not going to sacrifice the truth to reach masses of people because the truth is what we need. But I like the idea of thinking that God wants to see people saved, doesn't He? And He'll use us. And so these Bible classes, some of the men are looking at another school in a part of, not too far from us, but in a direction that we're not currently in with Bible studies after the first of the year, so that we have something ready around that first quarter. And so we want to get these 5 adult classes started, and then I want to come right behind that in just a few more months and start several more, and so that we can get people under the teaching of the Word of God. I think we can all agree that the more we hear the Bible taught, the better off we are. And aren't you concerned about our public schools? You know what would solve all that? Putting the Bible back in there. But that would not go with the agenda that is in there. But certainly we need the Word of God. And by the way, this is just me, just to remind you as your pastor, I think a little bit differently if you don't know that by now. We can spend a generation, quote unquote, picketing and protesting what's being taught in our public schools, or we can start a bunch of Sunday school classes and teach them the Bible on Sunday, have them grow up under the teaching of the Word of God, and let the Holy Spirit shine a light on the truth. That's what I want to do. And so we look forward to seeing what God does in the future. I don't know where all that came from, but I wanted to say it. And so happy new year. Joshua chapter number 3, verse 5. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Put yourself for just a moment in this passage of Scripture as a Israelite, as a Hebrew, and all you have seen up to this point, what God is saying here. Now your leader comes to you, Joshua, and he says, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, I remind you, the book of Joshua, there's a lot of great things that God did in that book. And by the time we get to chapter 3, He has already shown them some great things. They've seen some great things. And now He tells them, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And there's, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. We have to be careful that we don't just look back at what God has done, but we look forward to what God is planning on doing. And there's a principle here that I want to bring before us. And hopefully it'll be a help to us. And I want us to think tonight to be ready for what God is about to do. Because that's what Joshua is saying. He's saying, get ready for what God is about to do. And I am getting ahead of myself, but I want to say this before I pray. A lot of times God's people miss it. Because it's not because they don't believe God can do something. They miss this important principle of getting ready for what God is about to do. Now, spoiler alert, we don't have to help God do what only God can do. But we do have to get ourselves ready for what God is going to do. Father, help us tonight as we consider the truths of your word. I pray that you would use this passage of scripture, use the message tonight to be a challenge to us, to be an encouragement to us, and we'll give you the honor for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's greatest works are often preceded by a single word. It's a word we find in our text tonight. It's the word tomorrow. Before the Red Sea parted, tomorrow. Before Jericho fell, tomorrow. Before revival came, tomorrow. God loves to do the work of what is coming. But he does a work in not just what is coming. We know that he's also done a work in what has been. As I've already mentioned just a moment ago, we many times look back, and there's nothing wrong with this, and see what God has done. And we like to point in that and say, and by the way, we should. We should never forget. Look at what God has done. Look at who our God is. But if we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time looking backwards and praising him for what he did in the past. And we should do that. But we don't prepare ourselves for the new work, the new miracle, the new wonder that he's going to do in the future. See, God already knows what he's going to do tomorrow. See, as we look at this passage and we look at this, consider this thought tonight, we are on the verge of a new year. We don't know everything God will do in 2026. But I stand here tonight, and I believe you would agree with me, we know he intends to do something. See, we find in our text, Joshua did not tell the people, go relax yourselves. By the way, God can turn the heart of any man. Do we agree with that? And you know, I like to strike a balance, meaning I lean heavy and not even bring in political issues. As a matter of fact, they're not political. They're right or wrong issues. They're Bible issues. But we get so caught up in our government is doing this, and in, I almost said Congress is doing this, but Congress doesn't do anything. I mean, you could put a Boy Scout troop in there and probably get more done than our Congress. I wanted to say that before the new year was over. So I don't even know what I was going to say now. Let's have an invitation. Now we need to close on that. I really don't know what I was going to say. But we say, what I was going to say is, God can turn the heart of every man that sits in Washington, D.C. overnight. Do we believe that God can do anything? He can do not just anything, he can do everything. But I'm afraid many times God's people sit back, and it's probably true with our own nation. We sit back and we say, well, we're just going to let God do it. But Joshua here did not say, go home and rest yourselves because God's going to do a great work tomorrow. He said, before tomorrow comes and the great work is done, the wonder that God does, you have something you're supposed to do. See, he didn't say, go, just relax. He didn't say, do anything but sanctify yourselves. If you think back to when I introduced to you the Sunday School Revolution and how we want to start all these Bible classes around Jacksonville and so that we could grow and teach people, get people under the Word of God. I said this certainly among the staff men. I may have said it in front of everybody. But if we go and reach a lot of people, and this is the problem a lot of times, we'll go win a lot of people to Christ and we have no place to put them so that they can grow as a Christian. And we fail in fulfilling the Great Commission. We see people saved, which is the most important thing, but we're also equally commanded to see them baptized, identified with Christ, and then teach them to observe all things so they grow and live like a Christian. You have to have some place to put them. That same principle is here. Joshua acknowledges that God is going to do a wonder, but before tomorrow gets here, go sanctify yourself. I think sometimes we're guilty of asking questions like this. Well, why doesn't God do something? Let me flip that around. Well, why doesn't God's people prepare themselves? Well, why would God allow that? Well, why won't you prepare yourself? Well, God, why won't He send me this person in my life? Why won't you prepare yourself for that person in your life? Why won't He give me a ministry? Why won't you prepare yourself for a ministry? Why won't He give me this? Why don't you prepare yourself for it? And even as churches, we can say, oh, God has given us this property, and God, why haven't we been able to build yet, and all these different things. Well, maybe it's been because we need to prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. Why doesn't God do something? God can do what He wants to do whenever He wants to do it, but many times we miss it because we don't prepare ourselves. He said, sanctify yourselves so that you can be prepared for what God is going to do. Let me give you statements tonight that I think will help us with this. Number one, God often announces opportunity before He reveals the details. There's not a lot of details in verse number 5, is there? This is God, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to do something tomorrow and get ready for it. Okay, what is God going to do? If this was a typical Baptist church, Pastor Joshua, what's He going to do? You need to give me some details so I know whether or not it's worthy of my time to sanctify myself. Or we need more information so that we can have a business meeting to vote on whether or not us sanctifying ourselves is worthy or equal to what we think God's going to do. Does this make sense to anybody but me? See, God often announces the opportunity before He reveals the details. Notice in verse number 5. Now, you have your King James Bible there. I know it's hard to understand, but look at it there. And you tell me if you see any of what I'm about to say in verse number 5. Did God tell them how? Nope. Did He tell them when? Sometime tomorrow. Okay, we know the day. That's about it. Did He say how or through whom He's going to do it? No. By what method is He going to do it? No. He simply said, wonders are coming. See, faith does not require full explanation. In fact, if we had full explanation, it's not faith. And the Bible reminds us that if we want to please God, we have to have faith. The Bible also reminds us that whatever is not of faith is sin. So if faith does not require a full explanation in your own life, what God is dealing in your heart with, how He's helping you grow so you can be more like His Son. Things that we talked about this morning that took place in the past year, weren't things that just happened. God allowed them to happen to do a work inside of you. All of that is details to what God is doing, but you have to act on that by faith. He's not going to explain everything. See, many miss God's opportunities because they demand clarity before commitment. Bible college students sometimes face this as, well, I don't see what the point of all this is. You don't have to see what the point of all of it is. Are you preparing to do something very specific for the Lord? Then you ought to prepare yourself to do it, and God will fill in all the details. Well, I don't know if I'm going to need that. That's exactly right. You don't know if you're going to need it. That was free too. He doesn't always give clarity. Many miss God's opportunities because they demand clarity before commitment. I don't often do this, but if you allow me to use myself as an illustration, I didn't know all God was going to give me the opportunity to do in life and ministry. But I'm certainly glad that I finished the things I started when I was young. I'm certainly glad that I took the opportunities. I prepared myself. I'll say this too, when others were leaving to jump at every opportunity to pass and everything else, I stayed and did what I just knew what God wanted me to do. I listened. I kept my ears open in opportunities. Not because I'm some great, brilliant theologian. Oh, that's beside the point. Not because I'm that. But seriously, it's because there was a preparation stage. I mean, you don't want to go in for heart surgery and have a surgeon that got his medical license from ChatGPT. Why would you want a preacher, a pastor? Why would you want somebody like that who is helping you make life's decisions? The answer is you don't. See, God says, prepare yourselves. Let's be honest tonight. Most of the time when God says, prepare yourself, we look back at God and say, explain yourself. You're telling me to sanctify myself, to prepare myself. You tell me what you're going to do first. You know, because it's going to take a lot for me to rearrange my schedule. It's going to take a lot for me to rearrange my budget. It's going to take a lot for me to change my priorities. So, God, you explain yourself first. We've got to be very careful with that. Because as God is laying out opportunities, He's not always going to give us the details. Statement number two. Anticipation produces holy expectation. I remind you of Hebrews 11:6. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that come to Him. It does you no good to go to God in prayer if you don't believe that He can answer your prayer. Now, you and I, if we're honest, every prayer we've ever prayed, we have not had the faith behind it that we should have. And aren't you glad God is still God, and He's still big enough, and He still takes care of us? But there ought to be an expectation when we are talking about God. God's people, they had seen God do things. He says, sanctify themselves. They're going to prepare themselves. Why? Because if God's going to do a wonder, that's going to be something to behold. That's going to be something I want to be involved in. I want to be a part of. I want to get in on that. See, expectation changes behavior. See, people who expect nothing prepare nothing. If we as a church don't think that God, if we're not expecting God to do miracles in 2026, we will not prepare for God to do the miracle in 2026. We blame God for our lack of preparation. And there's a pattern here. God says, prepare because of what I'm going to do. And I'm reminding us as a church that we ought to be not just optimistic, we ought to be expecting, anticipating God to do great things. Our church has grown this year. It's grown through our Sunday school program. We're starting 5 new classes. I expect them to fill up. I expect us to have to start new classes. You say, Pastor, you're very optimistic. No, I have a God who still wants to save sinners. There's people out there who still want to be told the truth. They want to know the answers to life from the Word of God. They don't want to die and go to hell. They're just waiting on somebody to tell them how they can be forgiven of their sins. See, I believe that God can still do all of that. We have to prepare for it because we expect it. You start a new Sunday school class, you ought to expect God to do something, but it doesn't mean you don't go knock on a few doors. It doesn't mean you don't invite anybody. It doesn't mean you don't make preparation for it. You do everything you're supposed to do, and God will do the supernatural work. But it's expectation. God, I am going to be faithful to pray like I'm supposed to pray, witness like I'm supposed to witness, study like I'm supposed to study, and I will let you do the things that I cannot do, the supernatural work in the heart. but I'm going to anticipate because I've prepared, you'll do what only you can do. See, people who expect God to work, they pray a little bit differently. They plan a little bit differently. I am amazed. I'm amazed. You know that I have some vision. Is that newsflash to anybody? I've been called Crazy Neil for lots of reasons. Dreamer. But I really honestly believe there's nothing that I can envision this church doing that's too big for God. But it's amazing to me when I talk to other pastors who I believe are more gifted than me, than when I believe who have more organizational skills than me, when I believe they've been at this, or maybe smarter than me, and how little they expect God to do. What are you dreaming for your church? I'm just trying to get through another year. I understand what that's like, but our God is bigger than that. And I'm not expecting us to stay with the status quo next year. We're going to grow. We're going to plan. We're going to prepare. We're renting more schools. We're doing all these things in preparation for God to do a work. It's not going to happen if we just sit here and say, wait on God to send the people. No, we're supposed to prepare. See, the tragedy of many churches is not opposition. It's low expectation. We expect routine services when God wants to do wonders. See, this anticipation I'm talking about is not hype. You're not going to come in here and, oh, we're anticipating God, and say, we have to get everybody hyped up to show that we're anticipating God to do something. If you have to hype it up, it ain't God. It's not the Spirit of God doing it. It's simply faith in who God is, number three. Preparation always precedes participation. He said, sanctify yourselves first. Now, he was going to give God's people a role. He's going to part the Jordan water, the waters of Jordan. That's a pretty significant thing. But he said, prepare yourself before you participate in what God is going to do. See, God does not call unprepared people into big moments. It's not done casually. It's prepared. You must prepare. And a lot of times, God pulls Christians from the shadow to do a great work. And by the way, if you just faithfully teach that little handful of boys and girls week after week, month after month, year after year, that's a great work. And often God pulls people out of the shadows and say, why did God do that? Well, they were probably preparing in ways they didn't even know they were preparing. Think about what I preached this morning. There were things that took place in this past year that we just thought were a bad day, was part of life. Maybe it was a burden. Maybe it was a heartache. Maybe even it was a tragedy or a difficult situation. And it's just the way life is. But God allowed that to happen to teach us something, to change something in us. What is that? That's preparation for something bigger and greater that he wants us to do, knowing that he has to deal with our pride and make us more humble, knowing he has to deal with our bitterness so that we get it all out of us, knowing that we have to learn more compassion so he has to do things to do it. It's our preparation for participation. See, when he says, sanctify yourselves, might I say sanctification is not perfection? It is setting yourself apart. Let me say it like this. Let me use this word. It's alignment with what God wants. Well, I'm sanctified. Are you a... I know there's the doctrinal implications of sanctification. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the practical living sanctification set apart to serve God. Let me say it like this. Are you aligned with what God wants for your life? As a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, are you aligned with what God wants for this church? See, we have to get aligned with God But often when we refuse to do that, what we're saying is the God of the heavens who created the universe needs to get aligned with us. Now, as I said that, how dumb did that sound? But that's the way we live many times. Well, I'm waiting on God to get on the same page with us. No. We have to align ourselves with God. What does it mean? It means clearing distractions. There's some in this room tonight, you need to get some distractions out of your life so you can finish Bible college, so you can rear your children the way you should rear them, so you can serve the Lord. Well, I couldn't teach a Sunday school class. If you clear some distractions, you probably could. You need to adjust some priorities. My dad's sitting back there tonight, and one thing growing up, he always said that his dad always said. So now I'm obligated to pass that down to another generation. People, I'll give you, there's some things I can't repeat, but, you know, I'll give you this. He would say over and over again, he said, my dad always said, people do what they want to do. You know why you're here tonight? It's because the Holy Spirit grabbed you by the collar, threw you in your vehicle, started it up. You just walked in here. It's like, I don't know how I got here. Now, you may be here and be like, I don't know how I got here, but you had to make the effort to get here. You're here because you wanted to be here. You do what you want to do. What does that mean? You have to adjust your priorities. One of the things when I'm giving premarital counseling, and certainly depending on who I'm talking to, it's like I always mention, you know, there's priorities that are changed now. You know, you take on a wife, it's different. So what are those priorities? Whatever she tells you. Now that I think about it, the man doesn't have to adjust. She adjusts them. You just have to live by them. Parents, see Jonathan and Jenny back there, they just had their new child, and I share this often because it's true in my own life. You hold that first child in your arms. Things that were important to you before that moment are no longer important to you. And things that weren't important to you in that moment now are important to you. It's that change of perspective. It's that adjusting of your priorities. If we are going to sanctify ourselves, if we're going to align ourselves with God and what He wants to do, we might have to change priorities. You know, I like fellowship. We have fellowships throughout the year. But we can't have as many fellowships as I'd like to have. You know why? Because it's not the top priority. Say, like, Pastor, would you ever have a softball league? Have you seen the athletic ability of the people around here? Nothing sinful about playing softball. But do I take Sunday school visitation off of the schedule? Do I take Monday night prayer night off of the schedule? Where do I put it? If we're going to reach our, what's more important, reach our city? Now again, nothing sinful. And if there's churches that do it, I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying for us, we have set some priorities in place that have to stay the priority. And if you are going to align yourself with God, you might have to make some different make a priority change. You're setting that spiritual direction. See, God blesses surrender. If God is going to entrust us with greater opportunity, matter of fact, as a church, let me just say this. He doesn't owe us anything. We show up every week and we give the mission. God doesn't owe us anything. He owes us nothing. Matter of fact, anything we get is beyond what we deserve. And the fact that He gave us Jesus and salvation through His Son, there's nothing greater than that, by the way. But He didn't owe us that either. He didn't owe us His Son. He gave us His Son because He loved us, so we're glad that He did. But God doesn't owe us as a church anything. Well, we're the Emmanuel Baptist Church. God, that means nothing if we do not sanctify ourselves, prepare ourselves, do what we're supposed to do so that God can do a work. Preparation is how we say, Lord, we're ready for whatever you choose to do. See, if God's going to entrust us with greater opportunity, he will first ask for greater obedience. It's something I've expressed to our leadership, our staff men, that if we're going to have the things that we say we want to have as a church and ministry, there's going to have to be sacrifices that take place so that we can have it. That's the way it is. That's the reality of it. If a missionary couple is going to see God do something on the mission field to it in a foreign field, they actually have to leave their homeland and make sacrifices so that God, it's a setting of spiritual direction of surrender that God can use. Number four, opportunity is a stewardship, not a guarantee. Opportunity does not wait forever. If we were to continue to read in our passage of Scripture, and I'd encourage you to do it either later tonight or this week, we find the parting of the Jordan River. Now, when God decided to part it, he parted it. He parted the way he decided to part it. It's a wonderful story of faith. But God did this miracle of parting, and he did it on one particular day. Anybody that was not assembled on the shoreline to march across would have gotten left behind, because the opportunity that God set forth was not waiting for when man got ready. He said, you prepare. When are you going to do it? You prepare and be ready that when I move, you're ready to go. And would to God we as Christians and churches, and I believe we are doing this as a church, but just as a good reminder for us, there's a reason why we do what we do, and the preparation and the individual growth and all that we're putting into things, so that when God opens the door, we're ready for it. And that we're not saying, well, we'll get around to it or whatever, I'll catch the next one. No, we want to be ready, waiting on God, not God waiting on us, because that opportunity is not going to wait forever. But let me say this. That's why when God speaks to you, and he's working on surrendering your heart, don't you put it off. Because he may not come back and speak to you about it again. And I can give you testimony of families who have, through the years, have not been here. Their church has died. Their church has gone a different direction. And they came to me and they said, hey, we think we need to move there. We need to go to a church that's doing something for our kids. And the ones who would not take that step of faith, you fast forward, their kids are not serving the Lord. They're looking the other direction. They had an opportunity. God said, do something. It would take great faith and priority for them to do it. And they would not do it. God didn't part the water again. Means God did not give that window for them to take that step of faith. Young couple, when he speaks to you, you better take that step of faith, because he may not part the Jordan again. Young man, when God's calling you, you better respond and you better answer and you better be prepared, because he may not part the Jordan again. That opportunity does not wait forever. And can I say, if pastor feels that God is impressing upon something in the church that you're supposed to do, and pastor comes to you, you say, well, I just don't think I can make that sacrifice. The Jordan River may not part again. And we have to be ready for whatever it is that God has for us. See, the missed opportunities, we sound spiritual with them. Now's not the right time. Well, pastor, shouldn't we be cautious? I don't know. He said, sanctify yourself. I'm going to do something wonderful. We've been led to the banks of the Jordan. I think this is a good place for us to be. And when I see those waters start coming, matter of fact, it's a wonderful story that he only parted the waters as the foot came down. That sounds a little reckless. How'd you like to be first in line? We should be more cautious. Have we forgotten who God is? Have we forgotten what he wants to do? The point is, if they had not prepared themselves, they would not have been ready and watching for what God was going to do. Let me close with the fact that God prepares a people before he prepares a place. Joshua 1:3, we have the promise that every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. God did not start with the land. He started with leadership. He started with obedience. He started with courage. Before God does something around us, he works something within us. Before he expands the ministry, he deepens the faith. Before he increases the harvest, he prepares the laborers. See, what I believe God is about to do in the next year is directly tied to who we are willing to be now. Well, there's some things we've been waiting on, but we had to be ready for it. We have to be prepared for it. I don't know all that God's going to do in the next year. I know what I have planned for him to do, but he may see fit to do something different. But we have to be preparing ourselves for what God is going to do in the next year. See, tomorrow's coming. Joshua said, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. The problem is, many times that does not move us. Well, if I saw the waters part, I would run to that. Well, sure you would. But that's not what God tells us to do. That's not what God sent through his leader. He said, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord is going to do wonders. He didn't even specify what those wonders were going to be. See, tomorrow represents for us, it represents new opportunities. But if you've got lost loved ones, that's a heavy burden. You have been praying for many, many years. But God may be asking you to prepare yourself today for what he wants to do with a lost loved one in the year to come. There's new responsibilities tomorrow. There's new challenges tomorrow. There's new blessings tomorrow. There's new ministries tomorrow. But see, the wonders that God promised or Joshua told the people about, they were not automatic. It requires some preparation. So let me ask you some questions very quick as we conclude tonight concerning your life and concerning you. Are you anticipating God, or are you just passing time of your life? I don't want to just pass time. I want God to do great things. He has not woken me up in the middle. He's kept me from sleeping many times, but he has not painted a vision on the sky and said, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. But I believe with all my heart, he has told us as his church, be ready. And some of the changes that we have been through the years, I still believe is just part of the preparation for what he's going to do. Why has this been turned over and that turned over and this taking place? Because we have to be prepared for what God wants to happen. There's new challenges, new blessings, new ministries. Are we just passing time? Are we preparing spiritually? Are we preparing spiritually? Are we ready to step forward? Are you waiting to be convinced? See, we have to continue to prepare ourselves for what God wants to do. See, God is still a God of wonders. I mentioned the new adult Bible classes. Those five will give us 33 Sunday school classes. That's a lot of Sunday school classes. We've grown in this past year because of our Sunday school ministry. You say, well, 33, is that where you want to go? No, that's a third of the way from my first goal. 100 Sunday school classes. You say, Pastor, what are we going to do to get there? Well, I need some of you to start preparing now. so that you can teach a class then. Whoa, 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 whoa. Pastor, do you know who I'm talking to? Yes, it troubles me as much as it troubles you. That's where preparation comes in. That's where we got to be preparing. That's why you sit in a Sunday school class, you grow. You keep growing. You have an opportunity to invite somebody to be. And some of you, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself with your own class if you keep growing at the pace you're growing. Now, don't misinterpret that and say, I got to stop. But you get the point that I'm making. We have to be prepared. I am working very diligently on me. If we triple our Sunday school classes, that's more people for me to pastor. That's more of a load. That's more of a burden. That's more of a responsibility. I've got to prepare myself now, not to pastor the number of people that we have now, but to pastor the number of people that I believe God will give us in the future as we reach them with the gospel, as we help them grow as a Christian, as God does their work. The same is true of you. You say, well, I just work in this capacity. No, there's going to be a whole lot more people walk through those doors. There's going to be a whole lot more opportunities. You have to prepare now for what God is going to do in the future. And let me speak to the younger generation, you young adults and even teenagers. If God is going to bless like I know He wants to bless and what I believe He's going to do, you've got to face the fact that your pastor and your church and God, more importantly, is counting on you. You have to prepare yourself now. If you're a teenager, be a teenager. Enjoy all those stupid things that y'all enjoy. You know, whatever the latest lingo is that's so stupid nowadays. Enjoy all of that while you're dumb and immature. I love you, though. You get the point I'm making. Because the day is going to come, you're going to need to step into a classroom. That terrifies some of you. It's okay. When it comes, you'll be ready. We're going to start a church on the other side of town, and I need a song leader. I need a pastor. I need a children's worker. I have them for Sunday morning here. I'm going to need one from there. God is opening doors. There are places that do not have pastors that are looking for help to get a pastor. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to do the best we can to help in some way. Pastor, you're going to be busy. I am going to be busy, but not just me. Well, it just seems like, you know, if you're born into Emmanuel Baptist Church, you grow up in that nursery and that Sunday school ministry, and you go to that Christian school, and then you're expected to go to Bible college, and then you're expected to serve God in some capacity. Oh, how horrible. You do have it rough. Maybe you can be an exchange student with some of those Nigerian Christians. And Christians around the world who are martyred. It's horrible that you were taught the gospel at a young child and you had people pray for you. And I'm being a little facetious with the attitude, but there's some who have that attitude. What an opportunity. You have to prepare yourself. It is a preparation to reach people with the gospel, to do a work for Him. And I'm not just putting pressure on the young people, some of you older folk. You're not done yet. Well, Pastor, I retired. Not from God. You didn't give me retirement papers. We're still serving God. We're still doing something. We have to prepare ourselves. We get the point as we go into a new year, let's be willing to prepare ourselves now so that we'll be ready for what God has for us in the future. Ah, could you imagine? Prepare yourselves. God's going to do a wonder. I ain't got time. Who's got time for that? Well, it looked pretty dumb the next day. How'd y'all get on the other side of the Jordan? Oh, we did what God told us to do through His leader, and we were ready. When that first step was taken and the water parted as the step was taken, we were in line. You don't read of any of those who were their own man getting left behind. Prepare yourself. Young people, don't be, you get impatient. And I know, and I'm just talking. We're just chatting. But I know some of you single adults, you get frustrated because you don't have a spouse. Look around. Being single is better than having some of the ones anyway. And I've said this to many of you. I've said this to many of you, and I'm afraid you don't take it enough to heart. I mean, and I'm assuming that most of the time you do. You just keep preparing yourself. And I'll ask this question. I'll say, are you ready today? Well, no. I was like, so you keep preparing yourself. And then I'll say something like this. It may not be you. Young lady, it may be the man that God has for you. Trust me. You don't want to marry a man-child. God might still be preparing him. So let God keep preparing him while you keep preparing yourself. And when God puts you in the same pathway, you're going to know. And you'll be like some of the other couples. Hi, my name is. Let's go see Pastor. We're getting married. Because you're prepared for that. And sometimes as young couples and even getting, you know, a little bit older as a young couple, and in my age, I don't even know what's considered a young couple, but just younger than me. What is God going to keep preparing yourself? Keep preparing yourself. Just because you can order something on an app and have it delivered to your front door in 24 hours or less, or your food less time than that, does not mean God prepares that way. God does not operate by this world's speed. God still does things the way He's always done them, the way He wants to do them. I thank God that I waited to pastor. And can I say, you should be thanking God that I waited to pastor. Because you're never ready. So I just keep preparing. If God has not opened the door, well, I would teach a Sunday school class, but pastor hasn't asked me. Keep preparing yourself. Keep preparing yourself. What does God want? Keep preparing yourself. Pastor, it just seems like we just, sometimes at church, we're just spinning our wheels. No, we're not. We're preparing ourselves. Pastor, I demerited out of college. Am I a failure? No. Don't do it again. Or at least stop at two. But you're still preparation. That's still learning. That is still, say, well, failure is still part of the process. Oh, what are we going to do? Junior got a C. Well, there's some parents saying, thank God my junior got a C. It's preparation for life. Skinned knees never killed anybody. It just made you tougher. It helps you. And matter of fact, spiritual skinned knees are not going to derail you for the rest of your life. Pick yourself up, and what the old school dad would say, rub some dirt on it. Well, this happened. Build a bridge and get over it, and let's move on with life. It's all preparation. I took two steps. No, you're preparing. You're preparing. You're preparing. As we go into a new year, let's prepare now. Continue to prepare now for the future. Father, help us as we consider this important principle.